Ladies and gentlemen, sports fans alike, welcome to another edition of Bill Swirsky, Sports Talk Chicago, one of the couple, two, three best podcasts around. So sit back, grab yourself a cold one and a Polish sausage, park your keister in the French room, and listen to Bill Swirsky, Sports Talk Chicago.
In Chicago, you know that all sports rock. The Bears, Hawks, Bulls, Cubs, and Sox. Pick your favorite, you can choose, as long as the Packers lose. For everything you need to know, it's Bill Swirsky, Sports Talk Chicago. Bill Swirsky, Sports Talk Chicago.
Hey everybody, welcome to another edition of Bill Swirsky Sports Talk Chicago. This is your hosts, Alex and Sean. On this episode, it is going to be an extra special episode. It is the choke episode. Better get ready to perform the Heimlich. But first, I'd like to thank our sponsor, the Rockford Ice Hogs. If you're not familiar with the Rockford Ice Hogs, they're the AHL minor league affiliate of the Chicago Blackhawks. What does that mean for you? You get to see the stars of tomorrow today at family-friendly, affordable prices. You know you love hockey, and you know you love to save a little money. So make sure you head on over to icehawks.com, get yourself a hat, shirt, jersey, tickets, and more. Tell them Swirsky Sports sent you. Oh, Alex. The memes are coming, and they are good. Twitter is dragging Aaron Rodgers, and I'm here for all of it.
I don't think I've ever seen a player or team get dragged on Twitter as much as this Packers team has. I mean, obviously, we've seen teams get dragged and players get dragged in numerous occasions, whether it's a bad loss or, you know, they do something embarrassing, but holy cow. I mean, it was full force everywhere. I mean, this was a pretty big deal. This was supposed to be, or at least what many thought was, the last dance for Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay. And this team went all out to try to make that happen. You can't blame them. You can't. But they go all out, and they're one and done. They go 13-4, and they go one and done, and they score 7 points at home. And we have seen so many times in the past where Aaron Rodgers isn't really the man at fault for playoff losses. I mean, you remember 2011. You know, they went 15-1, but that defense was terrible. 2012, Colin Kaepernick ran all over them. 2013, pretty much the same thing. 2014, that was a legit good team, and, you know, they botched all that at the end. And then, you know, you had 15-16 where they got in, but their defense was really, really bad. This was a Packer team where the special teams were awful, but you thought, okay, Aaron Rodgers is playing like an MVP still, and they got a good defense. So you thought, okay, who's going to go into Lambeau Field and beat them? Well, the San Francisco 49ers did.
It's amazing. If you tell me that the Green Bay Packers don't turn the ball over on offense and their defense holds Jimmy Garoppolo to 131 yards passing with no touchdowns, and they hold the leading rusher to 53 yards. No running back has over 4 yards a carry. And that the San Francisco offense is going to score 6 points at Lambeau Field when it's like 10 degrees in the snow. There's no way anybody goes, oh yeah, Packers are going to lose that.
No, of course not. And we saw them get off to such a great start. That touchdown drive was like piece of cake. When that happened, I'm like, okay, this isn't even going to be a game. Like, this is over already. And boy, was I wrong.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that was a clear case of letting a team hang around and bad things happen.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm pretty sure by like middle of the second quarter, the 49ers still had like negative yards total. Like, they didn't complete a pass until George Kittle caught one towards the sideline. And that was on the drive where Jimmy Garoppolo threw that awful, awful pick. That was just awful. I mean, that was the first time they actually moved the ball because they hadn't gotten a first down before that drive. And, you know, Jimmy Garoppolo got sacked a few times. They turned the ball. Well, they almost turned the ball over. I mean, it was just, it was a mess. And then they turned the ball over with the interception. And then you get that huge play to Aaron Jones and you're thinking, okay, this is where the Packers, they'll make it 14-0 and they won't even look back. Then they get a field goal blocked. Who would have thought?
Yeah. I mean, if you tell me also that between Jones and Adams, that they're going to have 220 yards combined receiving, I'm going to go, yeah, the Packers ran away with this one. But you look, and beyond those two having their 220 yards of receiving, the rest of the receivers for the Green Bay Packers combined for 6 yards and one reception.
And this right there is going to be the stat that everybody talks about. There's one play in particular, the final possession of the Green Bay Packers. You remember when he threw to Devontae in double coverage?
Yep.
And Lazard was wide open. Nobody was around him in the middle of the field. But Aaron Rodgers tried to play hero ball, and we've seen him play hero ball plenty of times. But, dude, Lazard was wide open in the middle of the field. And you threw double coverage to Davante Adams, and it ended up going incomplete. And then you had to punt it away, and it ended up being the game-winning drive for the 49ers. Also, keep this in mind, too. The 49ers didn't score a single offensive touchdown.
No. Nope. Punt block and two field goals. And that wins the game in Green Bay. And my favorite part is, I don't know if you saw it afterwards, but Robbie Gould and Jimmy Garoppolo.
Oh, yeah.
They hugged, and Jimmy Garoppolo said, "Fuck the Packers."
Yeah, I saw that. I mean, we got to really talk about the big thing about all this. Our good friend Robbie Gould was the one who did it.
Yeah, he did.
I've gotten so much grief from Packer fans about how we cut Robbie Gould. And it just kind of felt like, after years of making that joke, it's like, okay, I kind of understand it, like the first year or so. And obviously Cody Parkey and that whole thing. But it's like, you know, we've had a good kicker the past. Cairo Santos has been great for us. We don't really think about that anymore. We all still love Robbie Gould. You ask any Bears fan, they still love Robbie Gould. And you ask Robbie Gould, he still loves Bear fans. Like, he was at the playoff game. He bought a ticket there. Like, you know, we love him. He loves us. And, you know, it was a long time ago. And we kept hearing those jokes. And yet he's the one that ends their season. I mean, I just, you know, what I was saying, Sean, was about this whole thing. I'm usually not one to talk trash too much about Green Bay because let's be real. They've owned us for many, many years. My entire life, the only time they had any sort of sustained success against Green Bay was from 2005 to 2007. Over that span, they went, I think, like 7-1 against them. Well, let's see, 5-1, sorry. And they went like 7-3 through 2008, from like 2004 to 2008, something like that. But other than that, Green Bay's destroyed us. And they are clearly the superior franchise to the Chicago Bears in pretty much every way. But after this year, after the "I still own you" stuff, and hearing that taunt over and over and over and over again, this just felt right. It felt like a little bit of easing of our pain for us. We can't really say it fully eases our pain because at the end of the day, what we want more than anything is the Bears to be in that position every year. We want them to be in the playoffs. We want them to have, hosting playoff home games year in, year out at Soldier Field / Arlington Heights Stadium, name to be determined. We want that. That's what we want more than
George S. Hallis Stadium.
Oh, man, I thought you were going to say George McCaskey Stadium.
No, that's what they said they want to name it.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
In this day and age, when corporate sponsors are like everything.
You know what? That would be the best decision that they've made in a long time. I'm all for it. I don't want like Hanes Underwear Stadium or, you know, whatever.
Dasani Water Stadium.
Yeah, I don't want some, you know, because they'll wind up with somebody stupid like Guaranteed Rate. And White Sox, I'm not talking crap on you. You just know that's a terrible name for a stadium.
Right. At least U.S. Cellular, the Cell, had a nice ring to it, pun intended.
You know, it's I don't want a stupid name. And most stadiums have stupid names. The only corporate stadium name I can think of that I like is in Louisville, Kentucky, KFC Yum Stadium.
Isn't that not the perfect name for something in Louisville, Kentucky?
KFC Yum Stadium. I'm all for that one. But most
if it's going to be a name, it's going to be there.
Yeah, most NFL stadiums have stupid names. Gillette Stadium. Dumb. Like, they're all dumb names.
And at least Lambeau Field is like, okay, that's named after Curly Lambeau. That's named after a person. You know, you don't see that much anymore.
I'm for that. Lambeau Field, you know, I hate the Packers, but all right. They very iconic name of a stadium. They don't need money anyway.
Right. And you know, I've been to Lambeau Field and I got to admit, if you want to look at a stadium renovation done right, go to Lambeau Field. That was done right. The Bears did it wrong. Green Bay did it right. I'm going to completely admit that. It's not even close. But, you know, back to Green Bay, like the actual game, you know, just this whole thing. It's just nice not to have to hear about Aaron Rodgers anymore this year. And maybe never again as a Packer. We don't know. I mean, I've said over and over that I think he's going to stay, but I've looked over and over again at their cap situation and it's not good.
Good. I hope the Packers are stuck in mediocrity for years. And then we don't have to hear about that stupid city and that stupid state anymore.
Oh, just all the years of bullshit we had to go through. First with Favre, then with Rodgers, just, you know,
I mean, here's the list of NFL stadiums. Allegiant Stadium. Meh. I don't know if you pronounce this. Gia Field at Arrowhead Stadium. Dumb.
Who the hell even calls it that? Everyone just calls it Arrowhead Stadium.
AT&T Stadium. Dumb.
Jerry World.
Bank of America Stadium. Dumb. Caesar Superdome. Didn't even know it was called that. It's always
That's
called it the
really
Superdome.
Dumb.
Real dumb.
It was the Mercedes-Benz Superdome for a while.
Empower Field at Mile High. Real dumb.
Dumb.
FedEx Field. Pretty dumb.
And a dump.
First Energy Stadium. Dumb. Ford Field. Okay.
That's fine. It's the Ford family.
Yeah. It's Ford family. Ford is a Detroit institution. All for it. I don't care. Even if it was like a corporate sponsorship, if the Ford family didn't own it, I'm for it because it's like iconic to the city.
Right. It makes sense. I mean, when you think of Detroit, you think of the automotive industry.
Yeah. So that one's fine. Gillette Stadium. Dumb. Hard Rock Stadium. Dumb. Heinz Field. Meh.
That one's not too bad.
It's one of those ones where, you know, it's named after something, but it's been around so long that you like Wrigley Field. Like, okay, I can get behind it just because it's like in your vernacular. So
it's a company. It's a company that is a name. Like Heinz is a name. Wrigley is a name.
Yeah. And but the stadium has been called that so long that it's my whole life is that's what it's called. Highmark Stadium.
Dumb.
Lambeau Field. That's a good one.
Yeah, it is.
Levi's Stadium. Dumb.
Dumb.
Lincoln Financial Field.
Puke. Dumb.
Lucas Oil Stadium. Dumb name. Cool stadium. Dumb name.
I'm actually going to say Lucas Oil isn't a bad name, in my opinion. But anyway.
Lumen Field. Dumb. M&T Bank Stadium.
Really dumb.
Super dumb. Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Wordy and dumb. MetLife Stadium. Dumb. Nissan Stadium. Might be the dumbest. Like, do they even still make Nissans?
Yeah, my dad drives one.
Oh, like, you know, the AMC Gremlin Stadium. Paul Brown Stadium. I can get behind that. After a guy.
Yeah.
Raymond James Stadium. It's kind of dumb, but it's far less dumb than a lot of the other ones. SoFi Stadium. Dumb.
But kind of futuristic in a cool way. I don't know.
It's of the corporate sponsor ones, it's the probably the least dumb. Soldier Field. Great name.
Bad stadium, great name.
Yes. State Farm Stadium.
You can get the Rogers rate and the Mahomes rate.
TIAA Bank Field. Dumb.
Dumb.
U.S. Bank Stadium. Dumb.
I can't say that because they're my bank provider.
So like I, if the Bears, decide to name it after George Halas, I'm all for it. It'll be, it'll be arguably the best name of a stadium in football. I mean, not much competition.
No, I was going to say it ain't much.
Yeah. So there's a George S. Halas Stadium.
Is it Dasani? That's the water sponsor. Is it Dijon? What it's.
Oh, I don't know.
Well, you go to Soldier Field. It's that brand. And if you buy that brand at Jewel, it's got the Bear logo on it. You know, they've been the official water carrier.
Yeah, I know what it is. I don't buy bottled water. So it's, I'm not sure which one it is, and they run together.
They should rename it Ding Dong George Aqua.
you know, I thought at this point we would have a leak about who was the likely candidate for general manager if we didn't have a general manager hire already, and we don't. In fact, we're still adding people to interview. And, you know, I'm all for doing it right and getting everybody interviewed that you need to get the right person, right? I'm all for that.
Sure.
But can you do it a little faster? We've got the Senior Bowl coming up in less than 2 weeks. And are you going to have anybody to send to the Senior Bowl?
Yeah. The thing is, I love the fact that they're picking as many brains as possible. And I love the fact that they're really trying to take time to evaluate this. I did not want them to rush and draw to conclusions, but this is agonizing too. You know, all the rumors, all the reactions, you know, we had one guy drop out last week and it was pandemonium. And, you know, Sean, really, to be honest with you, I think you and I, at least both you and I, me on my end, we can really give solid evaluations of what we think we believe is a good head coach for the Bears. Now, when it comes to general managers or front office people, I'm not going to sit here and pretend I'm an expert on any of these guys. So because one guy was hired by the Giants and another guy decided to withdraw his name, I'm not going to necessarily say, oh, well, all is lost now, because frankly, I can't really value a lot of most of what I can value is the organizations they come from. And that doesn't always mean it's going to be the right guy. How many times have we seen guys get hired, whether it's front office, coach, whatever, where, oh, he's from the blank tree, so he must be good. Or he's from this organization, so he must be good. That's not always the case.
Yeah, agree. And you know what we can do? I mean, Rick Smith, we can evaluate because he's been in that job and he's done it.
Right.
So people, any Jeff Ireland, we can judge because he's had that position. Other guys, it is, you know, who was drafted during their tenure there? How did the team perform versus, and you can't always go by the on-field performance because if, you know, you have a lot of injuries or players just underperform that performed well, like, you know, you would expect, it's the expectation of what the team you put together. That's all we can really go on. But there's a couple of guys that have had general manager experience and you can really judge them. That's kind of why I like Rick Smith, who I don't at this point even know if they've interviewed him or if there's officially going to be an interview. I've read reports that he has interest in the Bears job. I've had read reports that the Bears have definite interest in bringing him in, but I have not seen his name come up anywhere in like the last week and a half. It just into the ether.
Yeah. And you know, we're hearing daily about who the Bears interview. I mean, they tweeted out, you know, we've finished our interviews with so-and-so, and there's just such a long list of names. But yeah, him, I haven't seen much on him.
Yeah. I mean, we assumed that he would be one of the first ones because he doesn't have a job. You don't have to wait for anything. You can, you could interview him anytime. And you know, who knows, is maybe because he's not associated with anybody on the sly. They talked to him before they made the firing of Ryan Pace. And they just haven't announced it. I don't know. That wouldn't surprise me the way that organization bends the truth. But really where we're coming up here now is, you know, I don't think the Raiders haven't hired anybody yet, but that's the Raiders, man. I don't think the Vikings have hired anybody yet, right?
No, they haven't.
And we're coming up on the last time, you know, the latest when a general manager was hired. Bill O'Brien was hired on January 28th, but he was already the coach. So he became, I think they promoted him up.
Right.
So that wasn't, not the same, not apples to apples. The GM of the Cleveland Browns was hired on January 27th. Bill Parcells was hired. I'm sorry. Bill Belichick was hired on January 27th. But again, different situation on that one.
Yeah, that was pretty wacky.
John Lynch was hired on January 29th. But most everybody was hired. I mean, Ryan Pace was hired on January 8th.
I remember that being a very fast process.
That was a very, I think that was like a week long process. It was fast.
Yeah, it was very, very fast because they obviously fired both Trestman and Phil Emery on Black Monday. And next thing we knew, they hired Ryan Pace.
Yeah. So I was really expecting them to sign or to hire a GM. You know, my guess was tomorrow was my guess, the 24th. But I don't think we're going to see.
They're not going to be done with the interviews yet.
Yeah. I mean, let's see where's the tracker?
Well, while you're looking for that, you know, one thing I wanted to mention too was, you know, as we're going through this process and you're seeing some of the guys get interviewed and some of them have had to get rescheduled, like Leslie Frazier, for example, and they're getting pushed back. So, you know, clearly they're willing to push these interviews back. It doesn't seem like they have a set date where we're like, we must hire by this time. I think they're just taking it one step at a time and making sure they interview everybody first.
Yeah. So let's see. Rick Smith, we've heard mentioned as a candidate and has not interviewed that to our knowledge. Ryan Poles, the director of player personnel for the Chiefs. They just requested an interview with him.
His Are you sure that's not Ryan Pace in disguise?
He's a little darker.
Hello, my name is Ryan Poles.
He's got a fake handlebar mustache.
Like Mr. Burns. Hello, my name is Mr. Kearns.
So Ryan Poles, the director of player personnel for the Chiefs, they requested an interview with him. Reggie McKenzie or interview was requested. Omar Khan interview requested. So like these are guys that they haven't even interviewed yet. And
I mean, it's going to take another few days to go through all of that.
Yeah. It's, you know, this is taking a long time, and I get it. You want to get it right. But the thing is I don't feel that George is going to get it right.
No, I my fear. I made this fear very clear to you, whether it was on this show or off the show, but I just have that feeling that Leslie Frazier is going to be introduced as the new head coach. And the first thing we're going to hear in the introductory press conference is, we know our fans value the 1985 team. This man was a big part of that team, and we think he could bring that Super Bowl winning mentality back to this organization. Like, listen, I don't think Leslie Frazier's the right guy. Now, if a team were to hire a smart GM and he said, you know what, we see certain things in Leslie Frazier, we're going to make this work. That's different, but you darn well know that this organization would hire Leslie Frazier because they were caught in the 1985 nostalgia.
Like, I loved the 1985 season. It was a long time ago. A long time ago. And what, that happened like over a decade before you were born, right?
Yeah, I was born in 94.
Yeah.
So it's basically a decade.
A decade before you were born. So it happened a long time ago. Like, I don't want to keep hitching our star to that wagon. I want to get into what's going to be good for this team going forward. You know, there's still a lot of good candidates at GM left. I still, you know, if Rick Smith, they're not going to interview him. I do like Morocco Brown. I've read a lot of good things. I heard an interview with folks associated with the Colts that talk about, you know, what a smart guy he is and how good he is. You know, I'm for it because they need to get that guy in place and then get their head coach into place.
Yeah, and I just don't want them picking a head coach before they have a GM in place. You want the GM to establish what your identity is, establish what your philosophy is, and how things are going to function. That's what the guy at the top is supposed to do. And then he can hire accordingly.
And I'm fine if you go, oh man, we got a blockbuster head coach. Like, I'm hearing rumors that Sean Payton wants to leave the Saints.
That changes the scope of things. Like I've said before, there are circumstances that would call for maybe a different approach, but we're talking Jim Harbaugh or Sean Payton because they would essentially be the football CEO of the organization.
I don't want them to be the football CEO, but if those caliber of guys come into play, you pick a good GM with their help. All right, hey, who do you want to work with? And you do it that way because
that's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, yes. You hit a home run with the coach, and then you bring in the GM to fit the coach.
Right.
You know, otherwise you're taking a stab at a head coach. You're picking somebody that's either a failed head coach, like a Leslie Frazier, or you're getting somebody that's going to be promoted up, and you want them to have a good rapport with their GM. And you know, I'm not saying like, oh, you got to have good collaboration. I mean, you do, but I don't care about kumbayas and hugs and feelings. I just don't want a Jim Harbaugh, Trent Baalke situation where they want to slit each other's throats.
Well, of course not.
That, I mean, so you want a good working relationship. And so if you have the opportunity to bring in Jim Harbaugh or Sean Payton, take it and figure out the GM situation after that. Otherwise, get the GM into place and then hire your head coach. Like I the other day we got rumors that the guy was going to be Jim Caldwell. And I know a lot of Bears fans were mad. I
wouldn't hate Jim Caldwell as much as many Bears fans would.
I'm not going to hate it at all. I'm not going to love it, but I'm not going to hate it. And I'm not going to shit all over it. But the thing is you don't hire a Jim Caldwell before you hire a GM.
Right, right. Yeah, exactly. Sean Payton is on the level that you would. Jim Caldwell is not. As I've said, it's just a collection of a very small group of guys you would do that with. And honestly, I still think it's all a pipe dream.
Yeah.
Whether it's Harbaugh or Payton, it's a pipe dream.
Jim Harbaugh is either going to, I would say, if you made me put odds on things, 90% he stays at Michigan, 9% he goes to the Raiders, 1% Bears. That's my odds.
Yeah.
Sean Payton coming to the Bears, my odds are less than 1%.
Yeah, it's a pipe dream. It's not 0%, but it's so minuscule. It is incredibly minuscule. I also think too that we have to look at the situation and say, okay, we know that the guy's available, likely available. We're taking Sean Payton and we're taking Jim Harbaugh out of the equation. The guys that are available, none of them are going to not have their perceived flaws. You know, I don't think of the guys available. I'm not saying they're not going to work, but you're not going to look at any of these guys and say, this is 100% home run hire, blah, blah, blah. Every guy out there in this pool, you're going to say, okay, I like this, but I'm a little weary about this. You know, that's just the reality of it. None of these coaching guys are going to be near perfection, but some make a lot more sense than others. And I think some could be very, very successful. I'm just saying that don't expect this perfect prototype Madden type coach out there, because that's not really what's likely available. You have guys that have been coordinators like Daboll or Leftwich, or you have guys who, you know, have a solid reputation like Jim Caldwell, though he hasn't won a Super Bowl, or you have guys who, you know, maybe they do have a good chance of being a good head coach again, but their first go arounds were lackluster and you're weary of giving that second chance to them because you want to hire someone that you can trust and you're just not sure. Leslie Frazier could get another coaching job and he could be very successful. I think he is a very smart football guy. I just wouldn't want him to be the head coach of this team. You could say the same thing about Todd Bowles. So you're going to look at some of the warts on all these guys. You know, we have to make peace with that is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I agree. Everybody's got their warts. You do your due diligence and you try to build a structure, infrastructure on your team, so everything works out as best as possible. And, you know, while I'm not shitting on the Bears doing their due diligence and casting a wide net, I just want them to hurry up a little bit. Like Omar Khan should have already been interviewed. Rick Smith should have already been interviewed. Like these people, just interview them, get them out of the way.
Get them on your Zoom call.
Yeah. And then go from there. Like Rick Smith should have been first out of the playoffs. Not even in the league. Just interview him. Boom. And you know, you should have you should have had him the next day ready to interview. But that's just my thing, is you're not doing these fast enough to, you know, so you can get to your second round interviews. And the rumor I'm hearing is Ed Dodds withdrew because he was upset that there was so many candidates, and he basically wants to get a GM job where they court him rather than he has to jump through hoops to get it. And that's kind of a loser way to think about it, which is kind of a bad look on him. You know,
isn't the first time he's done this.
There's 32 of these jobs. And man, Josh Allen is good.
Yo, that touchdown. Holy crap. Just when you thought that they looked dead.
And I, you know, total tangent, but the broadcast team was hyping up the Chiefs kicker. Oh my God. He's one of the all-time greats. The guy, the 50-yard field goals are chip shots for him. Since they've been hyping him up, he missed a field goal and an extra point.
Yeah. Yeah. Yikes. And I don't think the weather's that bad there.
No, I don't think it is.
It was awful in Green Bay, but it wasn't bad there. Didn't stop Robbie Gould, but he's used to that.
But yeah, I just want to, you know, I want them to pick up the pace a little bit and at least get the GM into place. And if it takes a little bit longer to hire a head coach, okay. I mean, you know, as it stands, I guess Leftwich now is free to be hired. So I expect Leftwich to probably get a job offer this week. But Daboll is, depending on what happens today, he could be off the boards from somebody this week. But, you know, I keep hearing people say, well, they hired the guy from Buffalo to be the assistant general manager from Buffalo to be the general manager for the Giants. That means he's going to bring Brian Daboll with him. I'm like,
not necessarily. It could happen, but I don't think that's as guaranteed as people make it out to be.
I mean, I'm sure he's on the short list of candidates this guy would like to hire, but it's not like, you know, it's not like you just choose who your head coach is. Is Brian Daboll has a say in this. What if he doesn't want to go to the Giants?
Yeah, does he think that Daniel Jones is going to have a better ceiling than Justin Fields? I mean, you know, it's not like the Giants just hired a new GM and they got a ready-to-build core to contend. It's quite the opposite.
Yeah, you've got a disaster there. You know, I wouldn't want that job. I mean, you know, if you're telling me you're guaranteeing me a certain amount of time and we have a plan to get a quarterback into place. All right. You know, maybe you take that challenge on, but coaches want to win, you know,
right.
And you're not going to win with Daniel Jones, and your running back might be run out of the town, you know, because he's not the same guy he was before the injury, and he's going to be due a lot of money. Like, you know, I don't know what you got there. Bad offensive line, no wide receivers, bad quarterback, injured running back. Oof. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not good. Things are not good there.
Yeah. So it's not a guarantee just because you worked in the same spot.
No.
You know, Ryan Pace came from the Saints, but he hired somebody from the Chiefs. You know, it doesn't always, you don't always have to go to the, you know, somebody that worked in the same place you did.
Yeah. I mean, I just, there's this idea that they're married to each other. It's like, well, not necessarily. I mean, again, maybe he does go there. Maybe he does. I'm not saying he won't, but I just don't think you could just draw that conclusion.
But I do want to say some of my, this is total loop back around, but I can't help but think some of my favorite tweets I saw about Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers finding out that owning the Bears equals not many playoff wins.
Ooh, that's a cell phone on our part, but
definite self own, but still funny. Side effect of ivermectin is choking. Clearly Aaron Rodgers does as much research on COVID as he does on beating the 49ers defense.
Can you believe the 49ers are 4-0 against him?
I love it. I love it. And it's going to be interesting because the 49ers, what did they won like 6 in a row against the Rams?
Yeah.
It's going to be an interesting matchup. And I'm totally rooting for the Buffalo Bills in this game. I don't think they're going to win it, but I want to see the Bills and the Bengals because that's going to be a fun game. And it's going to be a game where I don't care who wins because I'm not rooting against anybody or for anybody. But if I had to rank the teams left in the playoffs, I would go Bills number one, just because they lost 4 in a row. I'd like to see them get one.
Super Bowl you're talking about?
Yeah. I want to see those fans jump through tables.
They won't be eating horse poo, right?
Yeah. No, they'll just be jumping through tables. Them Bengals. Bengals would be, and this is not who I think will win. This is my desire to win. Bengals would be second. Then the Rams, then the 49ers, then the Chiefs.
I would go 49. My order is 49ers 1, Bengals 2, Rams 3, Bills 4, Chiefs 5. And I don't want to say I'm not rooting for the Rams because I like Matt Stafford. I like what they're doing. I kind of considered the 49ers my second favorite team. So I got to root for my 49ers and I got to root for Robbie Gould and I got to root for George Kittle because they both like the Bears. And I think Jimmy G grew up a Bears fan too. So it's like, you know what? You guys did us a solid. You're my second favorite team. I got to root for you guys first. Second, the Bengals, because I really like Joe Burrow. And the Bengals have suffered a long time. I kind of dig the fact they're going on a run. And I don't necessarily hate the Chiefs, but I don't know. Sometimes I get a little sick of them.
I'm just sick of them. Like, I don't have any rooting interest against them. I'm just sick of them. I want somebody new in there.
And I think Pat Mahomes is an unbelievable talent. And he might go down as one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. But I get annoyed when we have to hear announcers going crazy when he makes like a 5-yard dump pass that ends up being like 50 yards after the catch and they go crazy. Oh, Pat Mahomes.
Is amazing. He threw a 3-yard pass to Tyreek Hill who ran it 87 yards for a touchdown.
Exactly. Exactly. Where Josh Allen, that touchdown just threw, that was a bomb downfield and it was beautiful.
Yeah. That was an amazing pass. Like if I could watch Joe Burrow versus Josh Allen in the AFC Championship game, I'd be a happy man.
Give it to me.
Yeah.
Like at the end of the day, we can rest easy with these playoffs and be like, you know what? Whoever wins, it's not going to be like we're overly upset.
Yeah. It's not like the year that the Patriots played the Eagles in the Super Bowl and I had to root for a plane crash. Like, two of my three most hated teams were playing each other in the Super Bowl. And I was like, I'm going to be miserable no matter who wins. And
you were just puking you were Bills fan puking everywhere.
Yes.
The whole night.
And so I was miserable. You know, the only thing that could have been worse is if, you know, the Packers were in it too. It was a three-way battle with the Packers.
2010 was, that was rough.
But, you know, did I ever tell you about the year that the Packers won the Super Bowl with Brett Favre?
No.
Actually, Brett Favre, not me, just misnaming Aaron Rodgers. Did I ever tell you that story about the bet I won?
No.
So I went to college in Chicago, and when you'd have those like really harsh winters where there was, you're not going out, those winters where it's so cold outside that your nose hairs freeze together and the wind chills like 30, 40 below, and there, you can't go anywhere, just too cold, and you just stay inside. Well, we had one of those weeks in the winter, and we were all just stuck in the college dorm. And so a bunch of us just started making prank phone calls. And I don't know who decided to do it, but we called 1-800-SAUSAGE. And it turned out that it's a Jimmy Dean sausage place in Tennessee. And we would call in the middle of the night. So we would get the night security guard. And we called this dude all the time after this. And at first, he didn't want to talk to us because he thought we were, quote, the law. But eventually, he started talking to us. And we told him our name was Cletus because there was like five of us that would call. And no matter who we talked to, he always thought we were the same person. But we always told him we were the same person. We were Cletus from Citibank. And he would just say, hey, Cletus. And finally, we bet on the Super Bowl. And if he won, we were going to send him a bottle of Jack Daniels. And even though none of us were 21, I don't know, we're going to buy Jack Daniels. But if he won, or if we won, he was going to shoot his gun in the warehouse. And we bet that the Packers would win. They did. And he shot his gun in the warehouse for us while we were on the phone.
Wow. Wow.
So that was my favorite bet of all time.
And it involved Brett Favre winning the Super Bowl.
It did. It really did. Wow. Yeah.
That's awesome.
So it wasn't all just bad news when they won. At least got something out of it.
Yeah, I'll say that's a heck of a story. Worth it at that point.
But yeah, I mean, if I'm the Bears, like I don't care that this is taking long. I would like a team in place with your staff, your scouts and things to go to the Senior Bowl, because Senior Bowl is important. You know, you get to see how players practice. You get to see them going in battles against each other, you know, in practices, the wide receivers versus the cornerbacks, O-line versus the D-line. You get to see how they respond to coaching, how they learn from a coaching staff. It's a really good insight to players that are going to be drafted early in the draft. And you know, if you wait too long, we got 2 weeks. You got to get your staff together. You got to get to the Senior Bowl and be prepared to, you know, to scout these guys.
Yeah, you know, absolutely. You don't want George and Ted being the ones doing it, do you?
Yeah, you're like, Ted's down there and they're like, where's your notes? And he's like, I wrote it on the butcher paper that my ham was wrapped in.
Just the fact that he's got butcher paper from a ham on him. What made you even think of that? You need something to write on. Butcher paper from ham.
It's all I had.
Butcher paper from ham.
He's like, did you at least use a pen? No. He's like, I used the grease from the bucket of chicken and just wrote it with grease.
That is so disgusting. Ew. Yeah, we want to avoid that. We want to avoid that at all costs.
Oh my God. It's yeah. Just want to avoid that. Have the person in place. Hopefully he has their head coach in place by then. You know, it's you want your structure. And so you can get a jump start on preparing for the draft, evaluating the players you have in the building. And that's a big one. You know, when you're evaluating talent, you have to evaluate what you have in house. Even if it's a guy under contract, do you still need to upgrade? Is he worth keeping around? If it's a free agent and you're one of your own free agents, will you bring them back? Do you have any interest in bringing him back? You know, like allocation of your funds, digging into the cap. Like,
there's a lot of work to be done with that.
There's a lot of work that has to be done. The sooner you get somebody in place, they just start working. You know, that's a lot of work when you start in.
Yeah. You better bring plenty of butcher paper. Oh, I collected it from my last three hams. I also had a sandwich from Jimmy John's. We could use that too.
He just saves all his food that he gets from the deli, and he just saves the paper, and he just pulls out. It's wadded up in his desk drawer. All of his drawers are just filled with like greasy paper. It's got like the grease stains through the paper.
Every single drawer.
Oh yeah, it's like that scene from The Simpsons where Homer and Bart, and Homer's trying to get fat. It's they're wiping the grease on everything.
Oh yeah, and Bart wipes the grease on the wall and like turns into a window, and the bird flies into it. Well, be creative. Instead of using bread, use Pop-Tarts.
that's like Sweaty Teddy. He's like, oh man, This is a locked drawer. I don't know what I did with the key. Hold on. Let me wipe some of this butcher paper on here and make the lock disappear.
Let me see what's inside. Let me just wipe this here.
Oh my God.
Just wads of them. Wads of them. Like, man, you really saved up all these sandwich wrappings. Jeez.
I didn't save them up. This was this week.
Oh my.
Oh man. Whew. So hopefully next time we talk to you guys, we have a GM in place. If we don't, the Bears are really behind the eight ball.
Yeah.
I think we're going to hire somebody this week. I would be real shocked if we don't.
And it's going to be Leslie Frazier and Jerry Angelo.
Oh. I'm going to guess. I'm still holding strong. I think it's going to be Morocco Brown. And I'm going to go Morocco Brown. Ryan Dable.
So you're thinking that they're going to land Dable, huh?
I think so.
All right. I still have that Leslie Frazier fear.
Literally, out of all the people that they interviewed or are planning to interview, he's the one I'm just like, no.
Right. Like, if they went from Jim Caldwell, wouldn't mind Jim Caldwell. If they went with Brian Dable, that'd probably be one of my first choices. Byron Leftwich would be another first choice, though I feel like he might be going to Jacksonville, but, you know, we'll see on that.
That's what I keep hearing.
We'll see. I mean, we'll see.
Yeah, I'm guessing Morocco Brown, and I'm gonna say, yeah, Brian Dable. You know, of the names, I don't think I want Todd Bowles or Dennis Allen or Leslie Frazier. Anybody else I can live with.
Yeah, that's kind of how I see it.
I mean, yeah, anybody else I can live with. but man, nobody's hired a head coach yet, have they?
Not a head coach. We've seen, you know, obviously the Giants hire a GM.
Yeah, and the Raiders fired a GM. So yeah, we're like at a net zero.
Yeah, so it's not only the Bears. Not only the Bears that are moving slow, but things after the division round could move pretty quickly, I feel like.
Yeah, I mean, depending on what happens today, I don't think there's any, I mean, Eric Bieniemy interviewed for somebody. I forget who. Broncos. He interviewed for the Broncos, but I don't think he's there. I think Dan Quinn is their guy from what I'm hearing.
That's what I'm hearing too. Yeah.
So if the Chiefs win this game, I think you're going to see some dominoes fall because Todd Bowles, you know, after this weekend, Nathaniel Hackett could be off the market. Todd Bowles, Byron Leftwich, Brian Daboll, Leslie Frazier. Like, there's a bunch of guys that could just be off the board.
Yeah.
I think I know where you want to go next.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a really, really, really aggravating and sad turn of events. Especially tonight. You saw what happened tonight.
No, I didn't.
You didn't see the final score?
No.
Well, the Bulls lost to the 8-win Magic.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Vucevic had a terrible game. They lost by quite a bit. Just really ugly after a really aggravating loss in Milwaukee. Half this roster is G League guys. I tried to be really optimistic when we heard about Caruso yesterday. I said, we just got to survive and we got to get those guys back at the right time. But you cannot be losing games to those teams.
You know, this team has had a rough ride all season long.
It just finally we get a good team and this shit happens.
I mean, the COVID running rampant through. I think every single starter was out with COVID except for Lonzo Ball, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Then you get the injury bugs coming through. And now you have Zach, who's probably coming back Wednesday.
Which is important. They need him back. They need him back badly.
But you have Lonzo Ball going down with a knee injury out 6 to 8 weeks. I believe he already had the surgery, the scope, for a meniscus tear. And then to the nut punch to go along with everything is the most hated player in the league, Cheap Shots, Alex Caruso, breaks his wrist. He's out 6 to 8 weeks.
And he just came back. That is such a big loss.
And Grayson Allen has the punchiest punchy face in the world.
Yeah. I mean, here's the thing. It's one thing if you commit a hard foul and you check on the guy to make sure he's okay, and you say, you know what, my bad, got caught in the moment. But Grayson Allen, everybody who watched Duke basketball knows who he is. Anybody who remotely followed college basketball knew who he was, not because of his talent, but because of the type of player he was. The fact that he didn't even check on Vooch, make sure he was okay, and he did that little smirk, it's just, oh, you are such a little rat.
And he gets one game suspension for that hit.
Did you see what the Milwaukee Bucks just did?
No. Was it the tweet?
Not the tweet. they released an official statement.
Oh, God.
Let's see here. Let me pull it up for you. Quote, "We disagree with the suspension. We support Grayson and look forward to him rejoining our team for Friday's game versus New York."
Man.
Listen, listen. It's one thing for you to stand by one of your players. Do that shit in-house. To release a statement like that after a player just got hurt and not even acknowledging that a player got hurt is tone deaf and just, I have lost so much respect for that organization.
Honestly, if I'm the Greek freak, I go, shit, people are going to gun for me. If they're like, all right, this is what the Bucks are. They're a dirty team. All right. Hard fouls all around.
I mean, wouldn't you, if you were one of those star players on the Bucks, wouldn't you be afraid that you're now a target? And Giannis didn't do anything, but he's their star player, so he's going to be a target.
Absolutely.
Drew Holiday, the same thing.
Yep.
From a PR standpoint, what advantage do you have of doing that? You're only making yourself a bigger target. It doesn't make any sense. You know what? Agree or disagree. Don't say that in public, or at least say, we wish the best for Alex Caruso. You know, it's unfortunate that this happened. At least give some sort of acknowledgement to the injured player. I mean, if Alex Caruso was fine and, you know, he just got pushed to the floor and he was okay, we probably would have forgotten about it. We hated it in the moment. It was talked about that night. It was talked about the next morning. By now, if Alex Caruso was fine, it'd probably be history. You know, we would have moved on from it. But Alex Caruso is now out 2 months because of this.
Yep. And, you know, the Bulls are going to struggle for a while. And that really sucks because they're, you know, they had the number one seed. And then, you know what? Does the number one seed really matter that much? Probably not. But you don't want to fall so low that you're really having to play hard at night in, night out to make the playoffs. And and honestly, you know, the NBA season is a really long season. You just want to get through the marathon and get ready for the playoffs. And at this point, I'm like, you know what? Get the Bulls players healthy. Get Lonzo back. Get Alex Caruso back. Get Pat Williams back. Keep everybody healthy. You already had COVID run through. Should be good there. And be healthy for the playoffs and make your push there.
Right. I mean, that's the best you can hope for at this point. And like I said, getting Zach back is big. You need to get Zach back.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
I still can't believe the injury luck we've had.
Oh,
I really can't believe it.
Between injury and COVID, it has been brutal. Brutal. Awful. I mean, pretty much everybody on the team had COVID. You've had all kinds of injuries. I mean, Lonzo, multiple for Caruso, Zach. It's just been devastating.
It has. And just insult to injury that Caruso had to get hurt right after he came back. Like, he was back for what? A game and a half when that happened?
Yeah, it was not.
He was out all those weeks?
Yep.
And you saw when he came back the immediate impact he made. And then you lose that again. And the fact that it had to happen the way it did.
Yeah, it's one thing if it's like a fluke thing. Like, Pat Williams got hurt on a hard foul, but nobody's mad. I don't remember who it was that hit him. It was just a hard foul.
Hard fouls happen.
And he landed funny. But Grayson Allen, what was a dirty play from a dirty player? That's he's a known dirty player.
You're right. You know, it's and like I said before, had it been that similar type of play, but it wasn't a player with that reputation, and you know, we checked on him and he said, "Hey, my bad." Shit happens. But Grayson Allen has been doing this since his college years. He's known for doing this. When you have a history of doing this, you don't deserve the grace from people. You don't.
No, you don't deserve any grace. He's a history of doing it. I'm sure he was like that in high school, too. I'm sure he's probably always been dirty.
I don't get it. I think it's a shame. Honestly, it's like Rafi Torres. You know, I mean, Rafi Torres was worse, obviously. But when you have, when you're scouted as a young player and you're brought into the league because you have talent, that you're a talented person, but you decide to throw talent away to try to be dirty. Like, that's just, that to me is a real shame.
And,
You're privileged to play in the NBA.
And there's like different levels of dirty. Like, all right, if you're one of those players that's like pulling on people's jerseys and trying to get under their skin, like Dennis Rodman kind of like, then you're like, okay, whatever. But when you try to hurt people and you're tripping people and you're throwing people to the ground and like, that's not a good part of the game, and the league, bad look for the league to one game suspension essentially encourages this stuff.
And I don't understand what the Bucks PR or whatever they're, whoever's making these statements, like, what are they thinking? What advantage do they think they have by putting this out? If this was the other shoe was on the other foot and Grayson Allen was a bull and that's how they treated it, I'd be upset. I'd be like, what the hell are you doing? Honestly,
I'd be upset if the Bulls got Grayson Allen in the first place.
Oh yeah, me too. I don't want him ever. No thanks. But it just, it doesn't make any sense to me. It really, really doesn't. And I know there are people out there who are always going to have a different opinion on the situation. And okay, you have a different opinion. But the fact of the matter is, a player got hurt as a result of that. And people got to realize that when a player gets hurt because of a play like that, people have the very right to take that a lot more seriously. It should be taken seriously when a player gets hurt. I mean, do you remember when Marian Hossa was nearly killed by Rafi Torres?
Yeah.
To me, that was probably the dirtiest play I've ever seen in any sport at any time. And except
for when that, who was it from the Rockets punched Rudy Tomjanovich?
I honestly don't remember that.
Who was it? It was punched Rudy Tom.
But while you're looking that up,
Kermit Washington punched Rudy Tomjanovich right in the face and broke his jaw in the middle of an NBA game.
Wow. I'd have to look that up. But my whole point of this was Marian Hossa had to get stretchered off. You know, people were worried about him ever playing again in the moment. Was he paralyzed? Was he concussed so badly? Like, what's going to happen? And it's just when a player gets hurt, you can't take this stuff lightly. And Caruso's injury is nowhere near as serious as it could be with Rafi Torres. We get that. But still, he was injured. And the Bucks have to understand that somebody got hurt from this. So releasing this kind of statement, again, it comes off as incredibly tone deaf. I don't understand it. I would love to just go to those PR people that release that statement and just be like, what is your thought process here? What are you trying to accomplish? Like, I just want to know.
Yeah, it's
Would you like that if somebody did the same thing if it happened to one of your guys? What if somebody broke Giannis's wrist? Would you like that?
No, they don't like that. That's bad. They don't like
that. You want to stand for your player, keep that in house. Don't let the player who got hurt see that, or the league see that, or the players see that of other teams and your own. Just, you don't do that. You don't make that public. That's my end of the rant on that.
So frustrating. So frustrating. And, you know, we've, the Bulls got a lot of work to do. And honestly, with the bad luck that they've had and where they are with injuries, the trade deadline is what, in 2.5 weeks?
It's coming up.
I think it's February 10th. So yeah, 17 days, 18 days. So are you heavy buyers at the trade deadline? Do you are you able to move on to
you don't players? The problem is you don't have the ammunition to really pull off a lot of big trades.
And that's the thing is, like, you know, Kobe White was a potential trade asset, but you need him with Lonzo Ball out.
Right.
You know, do you trade Pat Williams? And I think that's kind of foolish because you don't know what his ceiling is yet. And what if he's totally an absolute stud at some point? I mean, he's only 20 years old. Like what if he's a stud and you traded him as a trade chip for a rental piece in a year that you've gotten so many injuries that, you know, you're probably not going to be a real contender for the title. That just looks bad too. You don't really have any draft picks. I just don't know what kind of moves that they realistically can do.
I don't think it's going to be a lot. I think, like you said before on this show, that they might have to make a three-team deal. You don't have draft picks. You don't have a lot of trade assets. You don't have a lot of room because you need guys.
And I'm fine if they try to go for bench depth, they're going to be low risk, high reward type guys. All right, that's fine. I don't care about that because that's just going to help you. But to trade for impactful players, I just, unless they envision this person being here for next year as well, I don't know if I do that.
Right.
You know, I don't know if it's worth it because this year is starting to come down to a lost year. I mean, you know, going into the season, I don't think anybody had the expectations of being where we're at, but you know, the injury bugs and the COVID bug has just been so rampant that it's hard. This team was already thin to begin with. We talked about that, them needing to be healthy as their starters to be able to compete. And we're not seeing that health. And, you know, we've seen some good things from the bench, much better than I was anticipating going into the season. They just not good enough, I don't think, to make a deep run.
It's going to be really tough. And I mean, you know, part of it will be affected by who plays and who doesn't on other teams, because, you know, other teams have guys who either are injured or have COVID too. So, you know, we won't really know what that's going to look like time come, but you know, it's right now it's really hard when you have to have half your lineup as a G League lineup. And you know that there's a lot of questions. I mean, you have a timetable for these guys to return, but when Lonzo Ball comes back, he's probably not going to play 100% like that, right? You know, at the snap of a finger, same with Alex Caruso.
Yeah. Well, I mean, at least Alex Caruso can stay in cardio shape because it's his wrist. You know, he can run, he could do things like that. It's Lonzo Ball, it's a knee. You know, he's gonna have to build up a stamina and build up, you know, getting back into shape. And you know, you look at this team and Odesumo has been an absolute steal and has been such a good story. But you know, you ask, like, is he an elite enough player to carry you while you have Zach out, while you have Lonzo out, while you have Caruso out? And the answer is no. And it's not the knock on him at all. It's just there's not many players in the league that can step into some of those shoes.
Right. It's gonna be tough.
Yeah, I'm being realistic. You know, a rookie second round pick to come in and step in and pick up the minutes and the points that you need. It's just an unrealistic ask.
And you know, the other thing too is other contending teams are going to make deals, so they have the chance to strengthen themselves.
I'm sure they will. You know, maybe the Nets will, they'll pay somebody to do a Jeff Galuli and Tanya Harding, except instead of a club, it'll be a COVID injection for for their point guard. somebody runs by and hits him in the arm with a vaccine. Wait, are you even old enough to remember the Jeff Galuli, Tanya Harding situation?
I know the situation, but no, I didn't remember at the time, but like I've read about it.
Yeah. If anybody just doesn't know, Nancy Kerrigan and Tanya Harding were two, the best American ice skaters at the time. And, Nancy Kerrigan was known as like, you know, the all American girl, and Tanya Harding was like from the wrong side of town. And, you know, she was rough around the edges, and, she and her husband hired this guy, Jeff Galuli, to hobble Nancy Kerrigan to help Tanya Harding's Olympic chances. So he caught her coming off of a skate and hit her with a club in the knee. It's a wild story. They did a movie about it where,
yeah. Wasn't that with, what's her face? Are you talking about the one that came out recently?
Yeah, it had
Margot Robbie.
Played,
yeah, that's right,
Tanya. And it's such a wild story that you're like, this is not real. Who hires a hit person to take out somebody's knee from an Olympian that's competing against you in ice skating?
Yeah, that's crazy.
So wild. Maybe we need to do that with Grayson Allen.
Ooh. I think Grayson Allen needs to sit in Ted's butcher paper drawer. And then we'll throw in some rotten pumpkins from Gallagher Way.
Oh, God, pumpkins from Gallagher Way. Pumpkins from Gallagher Way.
Gallagher Way.
Oh, my God. Baseball, there's nothing happening. I mean, pitchers and catchers should be reporting in like 2 weeks.
No, but you know what I do like seeing? Cubs pitchers are posting videos of them warming up and working on their stuff, including Marcus Stroman. Go check it out on Twitter.
I'm just frustrated, and we're going to get a shortened season. And you couple that with COVID, it's going to be a disaster. I have so little hope of the season.
Yeah, it's not looking good right now, man. It's not.
So we had the initial proposal from Major League Baseball, which didn't address anything except for the universal DH. So I feel like we are going to have the universal DH for 2022 if 22-22 is played. When did we get that? Like a week and a half ago, that first proposal? And the players union, to my knowledge, has not responded yet.
Yeah, they were not quite fond of the proposal. Let's just say that.
The fact that they haven't even responded and the two sides aren't just getting into a table or at a table and hashing this out, that they're playing chicken is terrible. And honestly, I wonder why some players didn't sign contracts prior to this, because were they expecting something to change in the collective bargaining agreement that would alter their situation? And I'm not talking about, like, you know, the guys that are going to sign last that are, you know, just happy to have contracts. I'm talking about like Carlos Correa's. You know, wouldn't you want to just know where you're going to be?
Absolutely. You know, because, Nick Castellanos, Carlos Correa, Zach Greinke, Trevor Story, plenty of big free agents still out there.
Yeah. I mean, think about this. Is the hot stove time is over. Like when they do come to an agreement, like they're basically just going to jump into a training camp and you know, prepare for a season. Like the free agency period is essentially, you know, over. Like when you sign, it's going to be regular season the season by then, whether it's, you know, spring training or whatever. You know what I'm saying? Is that
right?
You know, by the time an agreement comes in, this lockout is over and the collective bargain agreement is signed and in place, by the time that happens, it's going to be after spring training would have already started. And these guys are going to then have to sign contracts and then, you know, get their physicals, whatever, and then just head to training camp. And, you know, that's got to be hectic and probably uncomfortable and probably not my ideal situation.
No, not at all. I mean, this is a mess.
Honestly, I have the opinion question.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think behind the scenes that who did Correa just sign as his new agent? Boris, right?
Yeah.
Do you think
Dylan Cease?
Do you think Scott Boris is still talking with teams unofficially so that when this lockout does happen, things can move quickly?
I mean, I'm sure he'd like to do that. Wouldn't that technically be tampering, though? I mean, isn't that not legal? I mean, not that it would stop him. I'm just saying.
Yeah, I'm sure it's not supposed to happen. But if you're a super agent, isn't that what you do, though, is you work the channels and to try to get, you know, your guy a deal? And I know they can't sign him officially, but at least work through that lengthy process.
There is one thing to keep in mind, though. How will the CBA, the new CBA, affect the way contracts are structured and signed? We don't know.
I don't know.
I mean, like, I don't know if it would be drastically different, but you never know. It's an interesting thought. I don't know. I really don't know.
Yeah, this is a mess, and it drives me crazy that the league can basically hold everything hostage. And I know that the players union has a part in this, but you know, they're going to try to get the best for their players. The owners are going to try to get the best for them. And the owners are billionaires. They can hold out. They can just hold out. Especially, you know, with COVID, where, you know, whatever, like they just, you know what, we'll hold out. We'll wait this out. And, you know, players have had a shortened season where they didn't get paid their full amount. And we've got free agency is interrupted, players that don't have a deal. You feel like the players are going to give in before the owners. And whenever they do this, it's always the fans that are left in a lurch. You know, we're left without baseball to watch. We're left paying higher price ticket prices to pay these higher salaries. It sucks when billionaires and millionaires feud, and it does a disservice to us hundredaires.
Right. Serious. Yeah. I mean, the fans lose at the end of the day.
Always.
And you know what? As I've said to other people before, go out and support your minor leaguers. Minor league baseball will be happening. It's a huge year for the Cubs farm system. Support the Iowa Cubs, the Tennessee Smokies, the South Bend Cubs, the Myrtle Beach Pelicans, and your local minor league teams. Whether you're in Chicago or wherever you're listening, support minor league baseball.
Yeah, I'm absolutely going to go see some minor league baseball, this year. Absolutely.
Chicago Dogs, Kane County Cougars, go crazy. Support your minor league teams. And yeah, as I said on last week's show, please, Marquee, if the Cubs aren't playing, give me all the Iowa Cubs, Tennessee Smokies, Myrtle Beach Pelicans games you can.
The Cubs will be dumb if they don't broadcast those games. Dumb.
Live on Pumpkins from Gallagher Way, this is Tom Ricketts with special guest Ryan Dempster.
To honor Kerry Wood striking out 20 guys, he's going to throw 20 pumpkins.
Just imagine Kerry Wood just in like some closet with like that plastic tarp everywhere, just picking up rotting pumpkins and just splattering them against the wall.
Oh my God. It's just nonsense.
This AFC championship, holy crap.
Yep. Do the Bills do it?
1 minute to go.
They're down by four. And so they got to score a touchdown, and they've got a minute two. And put all their timeouts. This is going to be wild. I am totally rooting for Josh Allen.
Me too. Go get it. And if not, George, get Brian Daboll. Just get your fishing rod out or your fishing net, whatever you have, and reel them in.
Do you want to talk quickly about Blackhawks?
Yeah, PU.
The team stinks. This team stinks, and I don't know what the solution is here.
Well, here's the thing. Kevin Lankinen is now hurt after he had a hell of a game in Minnesota the other night. And if you're going to be trading away Marc-Andre Fleury and Lankinen is hurt, say hello to the Rockford IceHogs goaltending core.
Yeah. Going to have Soderblom.
I mean, this season's lost. We all know that. We all know this season's lost. But I will give him this. They had a nice little four-game win streak before the Wild pretty much embarrassed them, and we had to watch Ryan Hartman have a revenge game. But it's funny. They'll win like three or four games in a row, and you're like, oh, that's nice. And then they'll just crap the bed the next few games. I mean, the game in Seattle was awful. When they lost in that shootout, that was awful.
Yeah, I just... And the only thing that's worse than their play on the ice is these non-Pat Foley announcers.
You know, it's kind of depressing that we're, this is how Pat Foley's going to go out with this season.
Yeah.
It's a shame. And it's one, I mean, I'm not just talking about the team not being good. I'm talking about the circumstances of this season. And you know what I'm talking about. It's just really a shame.
I just have a hard time with the fact that you're going to let your temporary GM have full control over making these deadline deals that are going to impact how quickly you're able to rebuild.
Right.
And this is pretty much all you got. You know, you don't have a lot of ammunition. You know, you don't have a ton of trade capital. You've basically got to trade off any player you can and just start fresh.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't sound like Kane and Taze are going to be moved. And I mean, I just see it being a few deals. You trade a Calvin DeHaan, you trade Marc-Andre Fleury, maybe another guy here or there, but it's not going to be anything big, and it's not going to bring you anything amazing back either.
No, you're probably not. I understand. If you're Patrick Kane and you want to end your career with the same team that you've been with, but don't you want to win again? Like, this is not going to be anytime soon.
No, we're years away.
We are years away. And the off season contracts that were given out, well, namely the big Albatross contract is going to be tough to rebuild around.
It is. It is going to be, it's going to be tough too. And it's not like you have a farm system. Holy crap, Josh Allen. Holy crap. I'm sorry. But you don't really have a strong farm system. Lucas Reichel, I think, is a very intriguing prospect, but other than that, it's not like you're stacked either. You're not the Carolina Hurricanes constantly pushing out talent, you know?
Yeah. I love watching Rockford Ice Hogs, and it's a great organization, it's a great stadium, but they have not churned out talent. It has been guys that you were hopeful for that just never developed. They don't develop players there.
This is an issue. This is an issue with the Blackhawks. They need to do a better job of developing guys. Yeah, you hit a home run with Alex DeBrincat, but he's really been one of the few successes over the past how many years now?
Long time. And, you know, like, and it's not that, and there's been talent in there. We just haven't developed it. Like, we had Teuvo Teravainen, and we parted ways with him, and I know why we did, but he never hit his peak here. He was traded away and became a very good player.
Yeah, he was in the right system and the right development. The Blackhawks, I mean, when the Blackhawks were contending, you know, yeah, you developed Brandon Saad. He turned into a nice player, but, you know, everything else you relied on was the core in their primes and acquiring veteran talent. and you traded some of the young talent away to get the veteran talent. When they were winning cups, it was worth it. But now you're in a position where you have to develop talent. You have no choice.
Yeah. And it's, I just, it's so frustrating because this is a, you need a general manager, a real general manager. You need a real head coach. You need all kinds of talent. You need to get cap room. It's bad. This is going to be several years before they're contending again. And
absolutely,
Stan Bowman really drove this team into the ground in multiple ways.
In so many, I mean, just really fuck things over. I mean, the Seth Jones, who's a nice player, but oh, that contract, man.
You know, the trade and the contract is just, it's shitty. Shitty, shitty. But, you know, it's going to be, you're going to lose Dominic Kubalik for nothing, probably. You've got this the rest of this year and next year with Jonathan Toews, and you probably don't bring him back.
Not if, this one.
Same thing with Kane. And I mean, how that's a, and that's a tough one. It's, you know, you're like, okay, Patrick Kane is probably the arguably the greatest player in this organization's history. And do you want to see him go to play another team? But how do you also pay him? And when he's going to be on a bad team, and it just eats away at salary on your, towards your cap.
Yeah. You don't even know where to begin. I mean, this is how big of a mess this is. And this is how much of a big deal that this next general manager, whoever that is going to have to deal with. He's got a hell of a project on his hands.
Oh, and, big project.
And there's part of me that's kind of worried that Danny Wirtz is just going to be like, oh, the interim guys, let's just promote him. Let's just keep him. Danny Wirtz, I think he means well, but he's got to prove to me that he's competent in running a hockey franchise, because this is the same guy when he first stepped in promoted Stan Bowman.
Yep. A guy
I'm
that,
like, oh man, is he going to be like a slightly less ding dong George?
Everybody was screaming for Stan to be fired, and he promotes him.
Yeah. Yeah,
the Chiefs are going to win this, aren't they?
Well, 8 seconds left. It's Hail Mary time or lateral time.
Well, they're going to throw it into field goal range.
Oh boy, if we get overtime. Oh yeah, yeah, right. They're down by 3. I was thinking they're down by 4. My bad. Oh my gosh.
Don't tell me they haven't snapped it on my TV yet. Just snapped it. Oh my god.
But this kicker, he's missed kicks tonight.
He's missed his last 2 kicks. But he's going to make this one.
Though, you know what? This would be fitting. Overtime would be so fitting.
Man, 13 seconds and they are able to tie this game up and send it overtime. The Bills got to be just so frustrated.
All right, here we go. It's going to be a 49-yard attempt.
He's going to nail it. He's going to nail it.
Yep.
Wow. Oh my God. I hope the Bills get the win the toss and they march down to score a touchdown. Don't even give Mahomes a chance.
Yeah. Well, we'll see who wins the coin toss. Oh man, this is an all-time great. This is an all-time great playoff game.
Wow, this is nuts. You know what? So, you know, this game is going into overtime. Every other game in this round of the playoffs has been a 3-point victory.
Yeah, because the last three games in the division round were all field goals, walk-off field goals. And we could see that again tonight in this game. It could happen.
I don't think we will. I think we're going to see a touchdown.
Dang it, man. Have some faith that we're going to keep this pattern.
That would be great if every game from here on out was a field goal, a walk-off field goal.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
I don't know.
Here we are talking about the crappy Blackhawks, and there's this all-time great. Oh, and the Chiefs won the toss.
Oh, God. Wait, the Chiefs elected to receive and then tried to pick which way they were going to? that's not how that works, Kansas City. Oh, man. But
there were, man, 17 seconds left. If the Bills lose this game, this would be an all-time heartbreaker.
Honestly, you know, if I was the Bills, I would have pooch kicked that one and forced them to field it and run time off the clock. But yeah, it's neither here nor there. Is there anything else you wanted to talk about?
No, I'm so hyped right now. We got to watch this overtime.
I know. I want to be, you know, end this call so I can watch this and pay attention, because right now I'm muttering and sputtering, you know, while I'm watching this.
As we're talking about the Blackhawks' future, which is bleak as hell.
I know. Oh my God. At least the Bears have a quarterback. For as bleak as they are, that we have a quarterback.
Yeah, but we're also in the hands of Ding Dong George.
I think they're going to get the GM hire right. I think. Fingers crossed. But that's going to do it for this episode of Bill Swirsky Sports Talk Chicago. I want to thank everybody so much for listening. Please hit subscribe however you listen to podcasts, whether it's iTunes, Stitcher, YouTube, Google Play, Spotify, etc. Share this podcast with your friends. It's how we grow the show. Follow us on social media at Swirsky Sports, facebook.com/Swirsky Sports, SwirskySports.com. Follow Alex at AlexanderJPatCreative.com for all the cool stuff that Alex does. And again, thank you guys so much for listening. And until next time, bear down.
Ladies and gentlemen, sports fans alike, welcome to another edition of Bill Swirsky, Sports Talk Chicago, one of the couple, two, three best podcasts around. So sit back, grab yourself a cold one and a Polish sausage, park your keister in the French room, and listen to Bill Swirsky, Sports Talk Chicago.
In Chicago, you know that all sports rock. The Bears, Hawks, Bulls, Cubs, and Sox. Pick your favorite, you can choose. As long as the Packers lose. For everything you need to know, it's Bill Swirsky, Sports Talk Chicago. Bill Swirsky, Sports Talk Chicago.